All right, you will find as I pick up where I left off that we will be quickly into answering some of those questions and challenges. It's amazing. I'm so pleased that Larry has been very explicit to lay them out. And so get ready. Praise the Lord. Pray. All right, we're looking at Isaiah 24. Isaiah is known as a gospel prophet. You know, the virgin shall conceive, et cetera. Here we go. Isaiah 24, and we're looking at verses 1 and then 4 through 6. And it's going to use the phrase in verse 5, everlasting covenant. We're building a foundation. It will become very clear very shortly, even from the Old Testament, to meet some of those criterion that Larry outlined for us so nicely. So we're looking at verse 1. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste, distorts its surface, and scatters abroad its inhabitants. Okay? That's apocalyptic kind of language. And that's the language that has transfer value to spiritual Israel. From literal Israel to spiritual Israel. Now look down at verse 3. The land shall be utterly emptied, utterly plundered, for the Lord has spoken this word. There's a typology here. Destruction of Jerusalem and so forth, but it points to a larger Holocaust, so to speak, a final judgment. But look at this, verse 4. The earth mourns and fades away. The earth, the world languishes and fades away. The haunted people of the earth languish. The earth, how big is the earth? Is it all the way around? Do we limit this to some geographical area in the Middle East? The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants. Because they have what? They have transgressed the laws. They have changed. Notice that. They have changed the ordinance. They have broken the everlasting covenant. The everlasting covenant. And therefore the curse has devoured the earth. And those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned. Few men left. Okay, this is language you see that the apostles picked up on and began to describe how it would be at the end of time when Jesus comes in all of his glory. And that glory will glorify the saints. That same glory will devour, consume the wicked. Okay, now, so that, again, is foundational. Let's see, look at, it says, few are left. That's a little hint of the remnant. Last part of verse 6, few men are left. And then down to verse 13, when it shall be thus in the midst of the land among the people, it shall be like a shaking of an olive tree, like the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done. This is kind of a concept of spiritual Israel. But that doesn't make the case yet. We have to go further, don't we? Okay, now we want to note everlasting covenant in verse 5. And I want to have you remember Exodus 31, laying the foundation. Go back to Exodus 31. And it's going to use very interesting language that has large implications. Yes, this was a theocracy. And those who would willfully break the Sabbath were subject to the death penalty. But that's not the point in question. Verse 13. Exodus 31, verse 13. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a what? It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Think about the sign. Is this a positive term, or is it a negative term, pejorative term, or is it complimentary? A sign between me, and that means Jesus, and it's the whole Godhead, but it's Jesus, and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Isn't that important? To know that our hearts are with the Lord, so much so that we make choices that are moral and correct and honorable to Him. We don't give unto ourselves. Then in verse 16, say to the children of Israel, they should keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout the generations for a perpetual covenant. All right? It is a sign between me and you and the children of Israel. Yes. For in 6 days, the rationale, 6 days, the Lord made the heaven and the earth, seventh day rested. Okay. So we have the everlasting concept, perpetual concept. Let's move on. The case begins to unfold. I want to have you go with me to Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56 is remarkable. The gospel prophet is definitely looking down to the end of time, the second coming of Jesus when he writes these words. Does he fully comprehend? He's faithful to write down what the Holy Spirit inspires him to write down. But here we are in Isaiah 56, verses 1 through 7. We'll note the Sabbath. We'll note the term everlasting. will note remarkable things. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness will be revealed. Okay, what does it sound like? That sounds like God is coming. Jesus is coming. Second coming language. You know, these promises you see have their application to the Israel of God in the end. So look at this. So keep justice, get ready, my salvation is about to come, my righteousness to be revealed. Verse 2, look at it. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold on it. What is the it? Who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the stranger who has joined himself to the Lord, this is the Gentile, by the way, coming to know the living God. Don't let the foreigner say, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people, that I don't belong. Okay, the last verse 3. Nor let the eunuch say. Eunuchs were men who were captured in warfare usually, and they were castrated and made slaves. They had no prospects of family and posterity and so forth. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am a dry tree. Verse 4, for thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that what? Please me. Notice the motivation here is to please God, to praise God, to be in the service of Christ and hold fast my what? My what? What's the next word? Covenant. Covenant. And anytime you have God speaking about his covenant, it's everlasting, my friends. It's everlasting. Even to them, verse 5, even to them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name. This is talking about eternal life. Eternal life. Better than of sons and daughters. They couldn't have sons and daughters of the eunuch. I will give them what? What's the next phrase? An everlasting name. This is talking about eternity. Eternity. Something coming. And eternal life. It shall not be cut off. Verse 6. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him. Not, they don't join themselves to the law. They join themselves to the Lord of the law. Out of love. They want to please him. And in the middle of verse 6, and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my what? My covenant. I hope you're impressed with these words, my friend. They're not mine. They're not mine. And they are addressing directly, explicitly, objectives that Larry brought before us on the screen. Verse 7, even them I will bring to my holy mountain. I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. This meets my criteria. It meets the criteria that Larry put in front of us as well in my conviction. I don't have to even say opinion. It's there in black and white. Okay, now let's go over to a prophecy. It's just a couple of pages over in Isaiah 58. There's a prophecy here. A prophecy. Isaiah 58, verses 12 through 14. Here we are. And so much more can be said about this chapter. You know, the fasting. This is talking about the Sabbath and how to keep Sabbath in terms of fasting from working for yourself. And then having that thing for the Lord. And that's up in verses 6 through 8. We're going to hasten down to verse 11, Isaiah 58, verse 11. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You should be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. This sounds like a new covenant experience, you see, abiding in the Lord. And verse 12, here's the prophecy. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. Satan, you see, is in the work of tearing down God's law, tearing down God's word, his instructions, and his counsel and so forth, his way with us, for us. Those among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise the foundations of many generations. Spiritually speaking, you shall be called the repairer of the breach in God's word, the breach in God's holy law. And that has been most markedly seen in terms of God's holy Sabbath. Look at the very next verse, verse 13. The repairs of the breach, the restorers of streets to dwell in. If, it continues, you see, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from my Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall what? Honor who? Honor him. The Jews fell into honoring the law. They became slaves to the law. They lost sight of the Lord of the law. A big difference. The difference is Old Covenant experience versus New Covenant experience. And so they honor him. You know, the first text we read, Revelation 4:11, we honor the Lord in terms of his being a creator. We rejoice in that great truth. And in verse 14, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. That's salvation language, by the way. The heritage of Jacob. It's like being sons and daughters through faith in Jesus, being sons and daughters of Abraham through faith in Jesus. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. One more passage from the gospel prophet. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 66. And here we are. Verses 22 and 24. He's talking about a new heavens and a new earth. And yes, you can make an argument that it was something local. But no, God leads his people onward and upward. Onward and upward. And there's an ultimate new heaven and new earth. And that's before us. That's not in the past. Verses 22 and 23. For there's a new heavens and a new earth, which I will make that shall remain before me, says who? Says the Lord. Says the Lord. So shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, that's month to month, and from one what? Sabbath to another, all flesh. Without reference to Jewish or Gentile or whatever. We just saw that in Isaiah 56. The eunuchs, the foreigners, all who come to the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It will come to pass that from one human to another, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh will come to worship before me, says the Lord. One more passage in the Old Testament, Ezekiel. And then we move to the New Testament. All right, Ezekiel, we're looking at Ezekiel chapter 20. A prophet in exile. You know, the Jews fell into this thing of idolatry, and the Lord gave them some very hard medicine. He allowed them to go into captivity. And they got sick of idols in captivity, didn't they? But here we are, Ezekiel 20. And we're looking at verse 12 and 20. Now notice this. It is just powerful. It's beautiful. It's very intimate, really. The relationship that Jesus wants to have with us is deeply personal, intimate. But it's not left to us to determine how that relationship is to be defined. We are to come to God on his terms, not on our terms. That's the plague of our age in terms of Christendom. Verse 12. Moreover, the Lord is speaking. Who's speaking? The Lord. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, them and me, that they might know who I am. I'm the Creator. In 6 days, the Lord created the heavens and the earth. And the seventh day, he rested. Where they come from, who they are, what life is all about. That they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them, who moves them to live differently, to God's honor and glory, and to plan for that eternal life. Look down at verse 20. He says what? This is the commandment. Hallow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. We live in an age when a lot of religion, a lot of things about God, but we have very little in terms of, there's very little commitment within Christendom with regard to the creation, a young creation. You know, the earth is said to be 4.5 billion years old. Have you heard that? And evolution is the standard, and it's typical in most churches, most historic Catholic and Protestant churches, the idea of theistic evolution. They simply do not believe a real creation week anymore. They simply don't believe in Adam and Eve or Noah the flood. All these things are mythical for the vast majority of our larger community of those who call themselves Christians. And yet, this is the defining mark, you see. Jeremiah 10:10, the thing that separates the living God, the true God, from the false gods is this. But the Lord is the living God, is the true God. He is the living God, the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth will tremble, the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Verse 11, thus you will say to them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, they shall perish from the earth and under these heavens. He talked about idolatry, the wooden idols up in verse 8. But this great truth, creation by fiat, special creation, and that not so long ago, is at the heart of the foundation of the gospel. Now we go to the New Testament, and we're down to 19 seconds. I will note in Luke 4:16, upon entering the synagogue on the Sabbath, Jesus was there in the habit, as he was habit of doing, he stood up to read. Mark 2:27-28, the Sabbath was made for man. Okay, the Sabbath was made for man. Jesus made it for us. It's his gift to us. a gift in time. Not just one day in seven, but the seventh day in seven. Praise the Lord. We'll be back in just a little bit. Yeah.